Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Being Online, on Computing, Data, the Internet, and the Cloud, by Jian Wang. Foreword by Jack Ma. Narrated by Timothy Andres Pabon. Foreword by Jack Ma. The first time I met Dr. Jian Wang, we call him the Doctor, I was shocked by his vision of the future of Internet technology. I wish we had met earlier. The first time I heard the doctor speak during a strategy meeting at the company about the future era of data, I was impressed by his understanding of data technology and his determination, which has led to today's strategic planning at Alibaba. The first time I heard about the doctor's proposal for the research and development of YunOS, the mobile operating system, I was surprised and even pissed off at how bold he was. The first time I heard people complain about how awful the YunOS cell phone was, I witnessed the tenacity of the doctor and his team. When for the first time the dispute occurred between Hadoop, a software platform for developing and running large-scale data processing, and Cloud Ladder Technology, codename for data processing software that was part of Aliyun Aspara Cloud operating system, I was pleasantly surprised to see the scientific spirit and persistence of an amazing and absolutely responsible technical leader. Everyone has criticized and evaluated the ways the doctor manages, communicates, and executes, but no matter what we see is always a humble, pure, and childlike grown-up. The doctor is a human and not a god. Everyone knows his shortcomings, which I also knew quite a lot about, but his great merits are probably visible to only a very few. If we had had the doctor 10 years ago, Alibaba's technology might be very different today. If our engineers, product managers, and operations service staff had already had the true partnership spirit, Alibaba's tomorrow would be even more different. If the doctor were just a programmer, then Alibaba's chief technology officer might be the same as any other company's CTO. If the conductor of a band needed to be proficient in various musical instruments to be a conductor, then many senior executives of the Alibaba Group would be laid off. No one in Alibaba Group is born capable of being a CEO, CFO, or CPO, Chief People Officer. The great thing about Alibaba is that we can make someone who seems likely incapable of being any kind of O become a unique O. Thanks, everyone, for your criticisms of the doctor. It is these criticisms that make the doctor more perfect. Alibaba will turn a doctor in psychology into an excellent CTO, just as the United States could turn the actor Reagan into a president. The doctor brought about the achievements of today not only because of his talent and hard work, but also because of the support and help he received from you and me. I hope everyone will continue to support the work of the doctor. August 15, 2012, written initially for Alibaba's internal website, Aliway.com. Chapter 1. Confusion, Dislocation, and Entanglements in the Digital Era. Keywords 500,000 years ago are light and darkness. Keywords 50 years ago are digital and analog. And keywords today are being online and being offline. Confusion between data and the Internet. Over the past several years, I encountered three seemingly unrelated events, neither major nor minor, that led me to contemplate seriously the Internet, data, and computing. On May 12, 2013, the Hangzhou Mobile Talk Club organized a cloud computing-themed salon at Yunqi Town in Hangzhou. The music platform Xiaomi's founder Xiaowei Wang spoke about the streaming music service Kuaidi. Founder Wei Xing Chen spoke about product design in the era of cloud computing, and website Duangku founder Qiangqu Wang shared his experience of doing startups in the cloud era. These gentlemen could be considered the old guard of China's internet age, but they were early adopters of cloud computing. I too took the opportunity to express my own views about what was going on. Generally speaking, after having been thrown into a tizzy for some time by the rise of the mobile internet, everyone, including me, was considerably confused. After the salon, Yuefei Pan, a reporter from the Kyangchang Evening News, compiled my thoughts about the position of the cloud with respect to the mobile internet, my reflections on big data, and my bleak outlook on innovation coming from app development, and posted them on WeMedia under this provocative title, Jiang Wang, You Are Totally Wrong About Cloud Computing and Big Data. Drones are a classic application of big data. I love peace, but the two best examples I can think of when I speak about cloud computing and big data both have to do with war. One example comes from a talk given by the author of The World is Flat. He went to the front lines of the war in Afghanistan and decided that West Point has to completely change the way it educates soldiers. He discovered that a low-ranking officer just needed a phone to command the movements of a fighter jet on an aircraft carrier. This could never have happened before in war. Previously, the ability of low-ranking officers to deploy war resources would have been extremely limited, but now they receive the same training as an army or division commander would have in the past. People often ask, "Can I change the world with the help of the right infrastructure?" In the past, many major tasks could be carried out only by order of the president. But today, thanks to cloud computing, an individual can do many more things than the president. Another example is drones. Some people say that drones are the best use of big data in the world. Drones are a classic case of innovation. Wars could not have been fought like this before, but now, because of big data, everything has changed. Cloud computing helps you do things you could never do before, and at scales that would have been previously impossible. Our clients are the people who could best use data. When Aliyun, Chinese acronym for Alibaba Cloud, was founded, we said we are the first choice as a platform for data sharing. I myself believe that by using this market positioning, we were ahead of our time. In the early days, we were focused on data, not information. This is a very important distinction. And when we mentioned data, we viewed ourselves as a platform. We believed that those best positioned to use data weren't us, but rather our clients using the cloud. Today, the most successful data company is Google. Google uses the web data available to everyone around the world, and they relied on their processing ability to create the world's largest business. During Google's early years, other companies had access to the same data as Google, but no one else had their processing ability or vision of data. When we were deciding how to position ourselves, we always maintained the basic concept that data is just data, but there are definitely people smarter than us who could turn data into an important business. The amount of data available today is far greater than before, so there are more business opportunities, and the opportunities are bigger than ever. Before, no one knew where the data was until Google launched its search engine. This seems simple today, but back then, it was a very difficult task, because not many people had figured out how to turn the data resource that they had on hand into a profitable business. Otherwise, Microsoft and Yahoo would not have outsourced their search engine services. The term big data is a misnomer. I believe the term big data is a misnomer because it doesn't reflect the essential nature of data. Actually, big data has existed for a long time. It's just that the word big didn't yet have any meaning. The world's biggest data has nothing to do with the internet. The European Nuclear Research Organization CERN's supercollider possibly had the greatest amount of data, more data than would be possible to completely process in an entire lifetime. Data isn't meaningful simply because it's big. Today, data is meaningful when it goes online. This is the uniqueness of the internet. That everything can be online is far more reflective of the true nature of data. If the traffic data that QID used were not online, the app would be worthless. Taobao's data has value because it is online. Data on a tape or paper has very limited usefulness. In other words, the value of data becomes much greater and more obvious when it's online. In past presidential elections, Gallup used to have to randomly call 2,000 people and have them take a survey in order to get accurate predictions. Now we do not have to do that. An analysis of people's tweets can accurately predict who will be elected president. Furthermore, Gallup's results have difficulty having an immediate impact on society. Data, however, can have a quick effect. Similarly, ride-hailing software probably has a bigger impact on the drivers than even their companies, simply because the data is online. Sometimes executives at petroleum or geological exploration companies talk to me about their big data, but I don't actually believe that what they're talking about is indeed big data. They do have a considerable amount of data, but if it's not online, then it's meaningless. Data is more important than features. I'm not a product expert. Anything that is wrong with Aliyun's products is entirely my fault. I hope everyone can forgive me for that, but after experiencing a lot of difficulties, I believe I've learned some things. So far, I have yet to see a product that integrates data very well. In the pre-internet era, a product's selling point was its functions. But now, the most valuable thing about an internet product is data. There are many apps that provide flight information, but the one I use most often is UMetrip. From a product perspective, I'm not sure how good it is, but its data is accurate and useful. It can tell you what happened to your incoming flight. For software in the past, features were far more important than data. But I believe that in the future, the opposite will be true. People in the internet industries understand this. I once joked with Jack Ma that we understood less about data than big box electronics retailer Suning did about e-commerce. My point was that no one really knew where the opportunities were in this emerging industry. A few days ago, I ran into Kai Ye, CEO of PlayCrab, an online game company, and he said that after making online games for years, he finally realized data was the most important thing. Running back and forth copying data between computers is difficult and taxing. I would guess that he believes completely relying on intuition to make online games is not enough. Data can help him do this better. Cloud computing is a business based on trust. When I was thinking about cloud computing, I suddenly realized that it's a business that is about trust. Streaming music service Xiaomi and new media outlet Duanku moved to Aliyun because of trust. China was the first country in the world to use paper money. Putting a stamp on a piece of paper and getting people to believe it was wealth was an extremely bold proposition. But now, we Chinese have fallen behind. We don't have faith in credit cards and simply use them like debit cards. This is a huge problem. If someone says he wants to create an internet business that generates $20 billion in 3 years, and he wants to rely entirely on someone else's cloud computing services, he can believe in the cloud. That is courageous. I believe that without this type of courage, there can be no innovation. As of now, China has this type of opportunity. Insurance is a very traditional industry. If you open an insurance company, you will have to have a physical office. No one would say that you can take care of insurance business without signing a paper letter of proxy. But probably in the near future, China will have an insurance company that is the first without an office. You won't have to sign any piece of paper. Everything will be possible online. Making an app is like planting in someone else's garden. I think mobile internet innovation can go beyond just developing apps. Developing apps is kind of like planting in someone else's garden. Apple and Android have already set the fences around their garden space, so it's okay if you plant some flowers, but it's just like buying a potted plant at the supermarket. If you really want to make something robust, it will be very difficult. You need to go into the forest and clear your own land for something to thrive. Otherwise, if they want to take down your product, you have to take it down. This is a problem. Of course, some people believe the garden provides a great environment, but in China, there are many more revolutionary things we can do. Exactly what they are, we aren't certain yet. There would be no Apple without Xerox. The greatest challenge we face in cloud computing is we still don't know exactly what cloud computing is. This is an emerging industry. We had only learned about it in books and it took everyone's hard work and cooperation to make it a reality. I think there should be an internet museum. Today, everyone knows the internet, but they don't know its history, which makes it hard to innovate. Many people probably don't know that almost all mouses are made in China, most are sold in China, and much of the technology for their construction is also in China. Very rarely do people ask why it's called a mouse, and even fewer people know that the first mouse was made of wood. Today, everyone can see the beautiful iPhone, its operating system, and the excellent App Store. But most people don't know where this device came from. A documentary about the 1980s in the United States features an interview with Steve Jobs, in which he says if he had never been forced out of Apple, he wouldn't have realized his later accomplishments. If Jobs hadn't been pushed out, he wouldn't have gone on to found Next, which wouldn't have been bought by Apple, and therefore we wouldn't have the Apple we do today. From this, we can see it is very hard to plan out the serendipity required for innovation. I do believe that Ali Yun can succeed, but it will not do so without going through tough times. There is a rumor on the internet that after Microsoft came out with Windows, Apple sued them for copying the Macintosh OS. Gates and Jobs eventually decided not to make a big deal of it, concluding that they both had stolen ideas from Xerox PARC. Xerox PARC didn't commercialize this technology well, but they did make a major contribution. Without Xerox PARC, there would be no Apple. That is to say, startups all make products that might fail, which are nonetheless valuable. It's not about what data you have, it's about what service you provide. Today, sensors in a cell phone aren't very different from the sensors on a cruise missile. They can generate a lot of data, but it isn't all that valuable. Data collection is not a space full of innovation. If you can think it up, it's doable. The area with innovation potential is what you do with all the data you have. This is a topic no one has really figured out yet. This is a chicken and egg problem. If no one does the foundational work well now, then the later innovations will not come. People have been talking about location-based services for a while, but as of today, even though we know where users are, no one has developed good services around this. I think this is the greatest challenge moving forward. The ambiguity of cloud computing. Taking cloud computing as the present-day equivalent of electricity in the industrial age, data is like a Ford assembly line. Just as there is no way there could have been widespread industrialization without electricity, without cloud computing, we wouldn't have big data. I believe there is ambiguity surrounding the term cloud computing. We're really talking about computing in the cloud, big data, and storage in the cloud together. Considering only one piece of the puzzle leads people to see only the big data of Ford's assembly line and forget about the cloud computing that makes it possible. For that reason, I distinguish between the visible front end and the invisible back end. I don't believe it when people say they can do big data without the cloud. Without the cloud, you're just a small workshop. Don't think about using data to improve existing services. Banks today don't use big data on their own because they lack the right computing infrastructure. They rely on IBM machines to process data. If you calculated the costs of processing data, you'd discover the value produced by processing data cannot be canceled out by the cost of processing itself. Data's great strength is that you can maximize its value with minimal costs. This isn't to say that any place that has data will definitely have a big data business. The best data services at Alibaba are in finance, but it isn't the same as banking. Alibaba Finance is doing microfinance, which just happens to be a field that banks don't work in. Banks don't have this data, and carrying out a credit check is expensive, so they don't do microloans. Alibaba Finance gives out loans of a few hundred RMB, around $50, to countless people every day. There was a client who borrowed only one RMB, and he wrote a special letter of gratitude saying that no one had ever been willing to lend him one RMB in his entire life. And after Alibaba gave him the one RMB loan, he felt like he had been respected for the first time. Don't think about using data to improve existing services. That isn't what data is meant for. It should be used to do things that couldn't be done before. Amazon does product recommendations better than anyone else in the world, but that's still the early days of big data. If Amazon is thinking only about how to use big data to further improve its recommendations every day, then I think they will definitely have no future for their business. Yue-Fei Pan later wrote in the lead-in to the previous article, "That day, another WeMedia author tweeted out several of Jian Wang's quotes using a public WeChat account. It resulted in losing the most followers the author had ever lost in a day and sparked considerable discussion among the account's followers. This is the impact of Jian Wang, who is one of Alibaba's most controversial leaders. His fans love him, but his detractors hate him." Even though I hadn't particularly prepared for this salon, the dramatic effect of my remarks was a big surprise for me. Dislocation of the cloud and computing. In January 2013, I was interviewed in depth by Jiaxi Li, a reporter from China Electronics News, a major IT media company. The conclusion I gave in that interview was that cloud computing was no longer a theory or vision. It was a viable business. Jiaxi and I first met when I was still working at Microsoft Research Asia in Beijing. Later, after I had moved back to Hangzhou to join Alibaba, she found out that I'd sparked controversy with my work launching and running Alibaba's cloud business and Yun OS, a mobile operating system. Some people said I was someone really passionate about technology who had a noble soul, while others said I wasn't the right person to be running product R&D and a business. In October 2013, the night before the AliYun Developer Conference, she interviewed me regarding the cloud and computing. This interview was scheduled after a meeting Jian Wang had with an investment company, so it was pushed back to 10 o'clock in the evening, but despite his bloodshot eyes, Wang spoke with vigor and animation about the cloud. He discussed the cloud, China's basic software R&D, the thinking about so-called internet thinking, a buzzword, Singles Day sales, an e-commerce sale day that occurs on November 11th, similar to Black Friday in the United States, and 12306, a train ticketing website in China which AliYun helped to support. In the past, I have interviewed Wang and shared his thoughts with other tech executives who have all found him to be very insightful. Currently, China's IT industry is undergoing a transition while the cloud and the internet are causing shocks to many industry sectors. There are many paths that the promotion of the cloud and the internet could take. Certainly, there are also considerable misunderstandings. I hope Wang's outlook will inspire others in China's IT industry as it undergoes this transition. Most companies are approaching the cloud in the wrong way. The cloud is currently divided into three types by the industry: public, private, and hybrid. IBM, Microsoft, VMware, and other IT giants are pushing these three types of clouds depending on their clients' needs. But Jian Wang believes the private cloud isn't really the cloud at all. Cloud computing's essence is service. If you can't scale the computing resources and make them accessible to a large group, and you can't really provide them as a service, then that isn't really something that can be called cloud computing. For that reason, he believes IBM and the other traditional tech giants providing the private cloud have at most added some technological sophistication and some new features to their current product offerings without actually achieving a fundamental technology shift. Instead, they're repackaging it and selling it as an upgraded IT solution. Wang believes that the development of cloud computing requires an ecosystem. But when several so-called cloud computing alliances sent him invitations, he turned them down. After reviewing these groups' members and their charters, he decided they were superficial and worthless, and that they had essentially adopted the IBM and Microsoft mindset. Instead, Wang set up his own cloud computing alliance in Hangzhou called the Yunqi Alliance. Yunqi means where the cloud dwells. This alliance came about not because it had been Wang's idea all along, but rather because, in the course of Aliyun's operations, its users and developers encountered problems and it became clear there was a need for such an organization. So he decided to bring together Aliyun's disparate developers, users, and partners to create a real platform where everyone could work together to solve their problems. During the course of several interviews, Wang expressed his concerns for the way China was pushing cloud computing. Everyone knows that cloud computing takes a service model, but when you really do it, you try to sell equipment to the users. This core business operation model hasn't yet been changed. Currently, China's many cloud computing service providers, including telecom companies and local governments, are all building massive data centers. They've bought tens of thousands of servers, storage space, and networks, but 99% of them aren't really cloud computing. So Aliyun made Apsara, which is something akin to a cloud operating system. By cooperating with the data centers, Apsara can cloudify their computing resources and turn them into a service that people outside the companies can use. Wang says there are only 1.5 companies that Aliyun regards as its role models. Amazon truly realizes the service potential of the cloud. The other half company is Google, which has solved the problem of scaling up, but hasn't completely done a good job with services. Cloud security is the topic that is most discussed and the greatest source of concern. Wang says, in reality, the cloud is safer than traditional storage. It's like putting money in the bank or hiding it under your mattress. Which one is safer? Obviously, it's the bank. Using the cloud only requires overcoming a psychological barrier. Only through every enterprise embracing the internet does the cloud have value. In many interviews, Wang has emphasized repeatedly that if the attitude of users and the ecosystem don't change to embrace the internet, the cloud will be meaningless. Only when users and the whole ecosystem adopt the internet will the true value of the cloud become obvious. He believes that many users are still employing the old IT mindset. For example, in order to deal with the spike of traffic on Singles Day, online retailers need to decide how many servers to buy. This will cost them at least a few thousands RMB, not to mention the additional cost of maintenance in the future. Subsequently, when they come to Aliyun, Aliyun helps them use cloud storage services to handle Singles Day for only a few RMB. I asked Wang, even if they were able to handle the massive volume of transactions on Singles Day, how could they possibly deal with the problem of train ticketing on the 12306 website during Chinese New Year? He said, if you compared the volume of actual transactions for these two projects, Singles Day is much bigger than 12306, and the conclusion is obvious. As Aliyun's list of clients continued to grow, someone once asked Wang, when big finance clients like ICBC, one of the world's largest banks, would start using Aliyun. Wang answered, you should ask ICBC this question. If they believe they are an internet company, then by all means, they should use Aliyun services. At the very least, the vast majority of their non-core services could be put on the cloud. Now that sectors from finance and retail to manufacturing are facing the challenge of the internet, it is almost as if no industry is unaffected. When promoting the transition of traditional enterprises into internet enterprises, there are many options and models. But which will result in the most successful transition to internet-based companies? According to Wang, many people now view the internet merely as a channel for existing services and products, rather than seeing it as a change in attitude and business models. Wang said, to be considered a true internet enterprise, the company has to have these two features. First, they're using cloud computing. Second, they have to use data to optimize the services they provide through the cloud. Some people may believe Wang's opinions are too extreme, but I agree that his vision expresses a true understanding of how the internet is transforming business. If we don't experience a sea change in our core attitudes, we won't be able to increase efficiency and effectiveness. Only a great change can bring great results. Wang said, using the cloud is in essence using the internet. Most companies' IT and services...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?